You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
And here is the song that was in the top 10 for quite a while. Let's bring him back to Do Till I Kissed You, the Everly Brothers.
Everybody to the Political Cesspool Radio Program. I am your host, James Edwards. Keith Alexander joining me via telephone for tonight's first hour, and that which you just heard was how America sounded in the late 1950s and early 1960s. And as we kick off tonight's live broadcast from Memphis, Tennessee, we lament the passing of one half of the Everly Brothers duo. Phil Everly has been called home to rock and roll heaven. And Keith, why did we feel, though it would be necessary for us to play a few Everly Brothers tunes tonight during the course of our program, and how does their music basically, in addition to it being outstanding music, first of all, and some of the greatest ever recorded, how does it in some ways reinforce our own political beliefs?
Well, I tell you what, we always say on the Political Cesspool that if you don't think that the 50s were a better time than America of today, then you didn't live through them. I don't care whether you're white, black, Chinese, whatever. The 50s were kind of an apogee of culture and civilization in America. I think that the 40s and the 50s, the late 40s, the early 50s, really, in fact, we marked the decline of America with the Brown versus Board of Education decision in May the 17th of 1954. Of course, by the late 50s, there was still an awful lot good that was left in America. The left had not, its corrosive effect had not really started to diminish American society as drastically as in the 60s. We point out on the cesspool that there were two really destructive decades in America and in the world, in the Western world, particularly the Europeanized Western world, in the 20th century. One was the 1920s, the Roaring Twenties, which was sex, jazz, and booze, and 60s, which was sex, drugs, and rock and roll. That's where the erosion of the moral fiber of the great the civilizational values of the West really was hit for a loop. And in places like Memphis, Tennessee, for example, even though they're called the 60s really didn't start until the very late 60s, early 70s. Because, you know, I can just look at my college annual and look at that 1969 freshman picture. All the men had on boots and ties, had short haircuts, looked very prim and proper. And then by the time I graduated in 1973, it looked like Haight-Ashbury. So, you know, the 60s is an epoch. And it was an epic that visited different parts of America at different times. And the Everly Brothers were from the hills of Kentucky. And they had an amazing array of hits. And let me tell you, ladies, listen to the words of their songs, and you will see that these young teenage boys from the hills of Kentucky truly understood true love.
And Keith,
that we're going to play, you are really going to bring that into sharp focus.
We are going to play in honor
what things are like now,
in honor of Phil Everly, and as a tribute to his legacy and the legacy of the Everly Brothers, we're going to be playing about 30 seconds of a different Everly Brothers hit at the beginning of each segment tonight, because it does, you know, I love that music based upon what it sounds like. But when I take into consideration the fact that it stems from a time that was just so much better, so much more righteous and healthy, it makes me love it that much more for political reasons and cultural reasons. And yes, of course, Keith, songs like Let It Be Me and all of the other great songs that those two guys wrote and performed, it just, I mean, that is, you know what love is. You know you've really felt love if you could write a song like Let It Be Me, which I think is going to be the song we come back to at the top of the next segment. But,
and then Devoted to You was their first hit, and that, again, if that's not what every girl is looking for in her, the love of her life, I don't know what expresses it better.
And we're going to hear that one, too, this hour. Keith's with us for the first hour only tonight and via telephone. But tonight's going to be an incredible show, folks. You're going to hear from Reverend Ted Pike in the second hour. He's going to sum up the Duck Dynasty flap with an exclamation point. And then later on tonight, which I believe will be the highlight of the program this evening, Sam Bushman's going to be our guest in the third hour. And we're going to be focusing on why alternative mainstream media venues like Liberty News Radio and the Political Cesspool are so important by just giving you a couple of stark examples of just how complete the establishment's control of its media arms is. And we're going to have another story from Utah that dovetails into that in the third hour. Folks, the show's just going to get better and better all the way through tonight, so don't miss a single segment of tonight's broadcast. I am really excited about it. We've got some stories tonight that are just really, really hot. It's going to be a barn burner. But, Keith, before we depart from this, the very inappropriately named Progressives, that's a name that they have bestowed upon themselves.
It should be the Destructives, right?
Yeah, moral reprobates, scumbags would be much more appropriate. They would say we are much more enlightened. We are a much better society now than we were from the time compared to when the Everly Brothers were performing hits. But how, Keith, in all honesty, has America changed for the worse since the days of Don and Phil Everly when they were at the top of the charts?
Well, I just refer people to the Bible. The Bible says, "Be ye not deceived. Ye shall know them by their fruit. Can a good tree bring forth corrupt fruit? Can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit? Therefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." Look at public school aptitude test scores, like the SAT and the ACT. Compare any particular school that was in existence in 1954 in America and compare their scores with today. And tell me whether that change in 95% of the public schools represents good fruit or corrupt fruit. Look at the dress, look at the behavior, look at things like the illegitimacy rate. The illegitimacy rate in America in 1950 was 22% for black people, 1.5% for white people. Today it's 72 to 74% for black people. Almost 3 out of 4 black children are born into a single family household, and whites have gone up to 25%. That's 3 percentage points higher than blacks were in 1950. Look at pictures of black, typical black guys hanging out on street corners in 1950 compared to today, with tattoos, throwing gang signs, and having their underwear showing. Tell me whether that change is good fruit or corrupt fruit.
And it doesn't even get into the issue of homosexuality. If there's a single cultural issue, we have regressed since the 50s, and there is no doubt about it. Folks, stay tuned tonight. I promise you it's going to be a scorcher this evening in the cesspool.
Would you like being an insider? Would you like getting exclusive access to prizes and better deals? Would you like some help in making sure you and your loved ones are prepared for the next disaster or emergency? If you answered yes to any of these, here's your simple solution. Join Freeze Dry Guy's Survival Insider Club. Not only is your membership free, you get $10 in survival bucks just for signing up. Then you save at least 10% on purchases, plus enjoy insider access to specials, prizes, and other exclusive offers. Since 1970, veteran-owned Freeze Dry Guy has been your trusted source for long-lasting, easy-to-make freeze-dried food and dehydrated food, perfect for emergency preparedness, RV travel, and outdoor needs from camping to sailing. Enjoy life as a survival insider. Call Freeze Dry Guy now at 866-404-3663. 866-404-FOOD or log on to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com.
Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
I bless the day I found you. I want to stay around you, and so I beg you, let it be me. Don't take this heaven from one. If you must cling to someone, now and forever, let it be me.
Rest in peace, Phil Everly. Called home earlier this week. That song is so good. Let It Be Me. It gave me chills just to hear it right now, and I've heard that song 1,000 times before. Folks, if you don't have an Everly Brothers Greatest Hits album or CD, go and get you one and tell them James Edwards sent you. I've got 3 of them in my entertainment center, and of course I've been revisiting some of the greatest songs this week, and I was inspired to put them on the show tonight. It takes you back to a better place in time. That's exactly what it does. That is real music. And there was a time in this country where music like that was embraced and it was popular. And now, of course, you compare it to top songs of today, which is all about violence and whores and promiscuous sex. I mean, that is real music, what you just heard. Not this stuff. Go, Keith.
And James, just think of the tenderness and the poignancy of those lyrics. Compared to things today. You know, things started to really go bad in the 60s and early 70s. I remember a soul song from Memphis where the words were, "Well, I know my baby's waiting. She's anticipating that I'm gonna get erected so our love can be connected." Now compare those type of coarse lyrics with the lyrics of the Everly Brothers, and you can see it's the difference of night and day.
Well, it was real soul, and that came from the heart of a poet, you know, the Everly Brothers. But we could talk about them all show, I guess. But, you know, I do love that music. I think it's consistent with what we believe in, you know, faith and family and just good things, good healthy tendencies. And, you know, I tell you this, when Phil and Don Everly were making that song a top 10 hit in this country back in the 60s, I can guarantee you they never could have foreseen a headline like the one I'm about to read. And this is a story, again, from the files of I'm Not Making This Up. This new law went into effect in California on January 1st. We've heard in the past about examples of boys who feel like they are girls and they're allowed to participate in the homecoming, and they, you know, a boy will win homecoming queen because he identifies as a female. There's been a couple of examples of that happening. Now, Keith, the new law is that any boy in any California public school from K through 12 will be able to play on girls' teams, whether it be softball, volleyball, basketball, whatever. Boys can now play on girls' teams in the state of California so long as their gender identity leads them to feel as though they are a girl. So basically, if you feel like you are a girl trapped in a male's body, you can go play on the girls' sports teams, and you can also enjoy access to their locker rooms. You think the Everly Brothers thought that was going to be something they would have to write songs about one day?
Yeah, you know, this is, they could never, no one would have imagined, as, you know, recently as 20 years ago, the wild ride that the, you know, culture wars would take us on in America. You know, I'm expecting bestiality to be the next big thing. You know, that they can use the same motto that the gays used at first, what's wrong with our kind of love? But, you know, is there anything that's not beyond this? You know, the guys at Duck Dynasty are like us, stuck in the 50s. And thank goodness we are, because that means you're stuck in a moral universe, which is ordered by God, according to God's law.
You know, even though we had lost the war, obviously, by the 50s, Keith, the South had been beaten and we lost our war, or the war that was thrust upon us. We'd already been through the horrors of World War One and Two, but still, you have to think that certainly within modern history, the halcyon days of American culture and society were those in the early 50s. We had really reached our zenith. And then now you've got this, as I read from Breitbart, the article about this reads, we will all sleep a little bit better at night knowing that students in grades K through 12 who identify as transgender will be able to use the school bathrooms of their choosing so long as it is consistent with their gender identity, even if it is different than their gender at birth. Students will also be able to select whether they want to be on the boys' teams or the girls' teams based on their gender identity. Now, of course, Keith, this does not mean necessarily that you have to act in a stereotypical girl manner. It's, I guess, you know, theoretically, it would be perfectly fine for you to be a normal boy who still likes girls sexually. And if anyone questions your motives, you can just scream hate and threaten legal action. How can anyone expect, under any circumstances, though, this to turn out well?
Well, again, it ignores God and God's law, natural law, and all of this. You know, we always say here on the cesspool that liberalism is the modern face of evil. Liberalism is what has attacked the godly world and worldview and zeitgeist that informed the songs of the Everly Brothers. And, you know, you cannot condemn what God approves. You can't approve what God condemns. And, you know, it becomes as a great shock, I'm sure, to many Americans today to learn that the Bible does not condemn slavery. It says in the epistles, slaves, obey your masters, and masters, be kind to your slaves. On the other hand, homosexuality, which supposedly is a great right and to be defended by all right-thinking people, is not only condemned, but condemned in very harsh terms. Never is mentioned, not only in the Bible, but in the Holy Scripture of every major religion in the world. But again, we have totally departed. We're much smarter than God now, apparently. At least that's thinking of the so-called elites that rule us and make us bow down to these golden calves that they've set up for us, totally in disregard of natural law and God's law.
And then the latest example of these golden cows, as you mentioned, Keith, is this scenario in California where now boys will be able to go to the girls' locker rooms or vice versa. If there's a girl who thinks she's a boy or feels as though she's a boy, she can go on the boys' team. You know, though, God's law and nature's law will supersede this senselessness. Boys go on girls' teams, and there will be no more girls on those teams. They will outperform them as the physical superior.
Well, you know, I remember when Dr. Renee Richards, a man who was like a good country club tennis player, got a sex change operation in the 70s and became Dr. Renee Richards. And suddenly, out of nowhere, this person was dominating women's tennis.
Imagine that.
And furthermore, Chris Evert, who was a big Wimbledon winner, big, you know, a Grand Slam winner for women, never could defeat her brother in tennis, who was a Division III college player. So, you know, if they want to, apparently in sports, separate but equal is okay, because they know that women can't compete with men in sports, typically. And that's even sports like tennis and golf. If it were, then we wouldn't have to have a ladies, an LPGA, Ladies Professional Golf Association Tour, or any of these, or the LPTA, Ladies Professional Tennis Association. They could just play with the men and, you know, to the big of those as spoils.
Well,
there wouldn't be very many women there.
Well, they're gonna test that, I guess, in California with the boys joining up the girls' teams. We'll see how that works for them. It's going to be a disaster, as every liberal advance always is, these radical egalitarian advances. We got to take a break, folks. We'll be back with more and more Everly Brothers music. Stay tuned for that right after this.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin, just outside Traveler's Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cofcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, that one right there was for Keith Alexander. Keith, of all the songs in the Everly Brothers catalog, that was the one you specifically wanted to hear played tonight.
Yeah, that and Let It Be Me, I think. If there are any more poignant love songs in the English language, I don't know about them. I think they're these little hick boys from the hills of Kentucky. Certainly knew about love. There's no doubt about that.
And, you know, we talked tonight at dinner. I had dinner with Keith before the show started tonight at a local barbecue restaurant. That Don Everly, the remaining Everly brother who's still alive, lives near Nashville, Tennessee, and he bought an antebellum home that he currently resides in, and he bought it because Nathan Bedford Forrest once recuperated there after sustaining a war injury in the master bedroom of Don Everly's home. The room, of course, that he sleeps in was once occupied by General Forrest, and he said that that was what impressed him most about the house, and he wanted to live there where Forrest had been. And so you know that these got to be good guys.
Yeah, they have to be. If they they have all the right heroes, they love who needs to be loved, and they hate who needs to be hated, I would imagine, too, although they probably don't make a big fuss about that, being in the entertainment industry, which is dominated, of course, by Jewish leftists. They're the paymasters of the whole thing, so consequently, letting your light come out from under the bushel and showing yourself to be conservative is never a good career move for anybody in the entertainment industry.
Yeah, and, you know, we don't know the Everly Brothers' political leanings. I mean, they've got great music irregardless, but music that healthy you would think came from a healthy mind. We know they came from the rural South. And the only thing I've ever heard them say politically was that by Don Everly with the Forrest comment. But nevertheless, it's great music. It's great music. And Keith, speaking of family, the Everly brothers obviously were biological brothers. And so too are we in terms of spiritual brotherhood that we share here as host of the show. And that extends to our family of listeners. And you enjoyed a birthday this week, Keith. You turned 63 years young on January the 6th. And I post a picture of you from the first grade there at thepoliticalcesspool.org. And a few thoughts about what I believe you mean to the show with your encyclopedic knowledge and uncanny ability to present a convincing case on any issue. Certainly, what you bring to the show is absolutely immeasurable, Keith. But you received well wishes from listeners around the world. I even saw a few comments there from Australia and other places. And I know before we get to the next topic tonight, you wanted to say something to the audience about what that meant to you.
Yes, I was genuinely touched by the comment. I loved Courtney Ford and Not Your Average Housewife, Courtney from Alabama, saying what they did, and also the comments by so many of our people that by Junghaus and others. I could just go and name all of them, but it is very humbling and very gratifying to hear people speak of you with unadulterated praise the way that these people did. And let me tell you, it's since we're not getting rich doing this show, that's what really motivates us to keep our shoulder to the wheel, James. We've got to keep doing what we're doing because obviously, these people wouldn't be so hungry for it if they could get it elsewhere.
Well, that's absolutely right, and we share a love with our audience. It is a love affair that we all have for a cause greater than ourselves, and we come together and we serve them, and they support us, and it's just a great situation we have here, and it extends to the network leadership, Sam Bushman and the ownership. It's just Listen, the political cesspool, it's a very special, special group of people, and our audience is a part of that, a big, big part of that. And it meant as much to me, folks, to read what you had to say to Keith as it did to him, and I know it was a great birthday present. Keith, that being said, red state, blue state, there was an article that you had found in the local paper here in Memphis that's right in your wheelhouse, as you said. So tell us what it's all about.
Well, it was originally in the Washington Post. It was in the Sunday, January the 5th. Edition of the Commercial Appeal in Memphis by Dan Baltz of the Washington Post. And it says, and the title was, Red Blue States Drift Apart in New Era of Single Party Control. Political polarization has ushered in a new era in state government where single party control of the levers of power has produced competing Americas. One is grounded in principles of lean and limited government and on traditional values. The other is built on a belief in the essential role of government and on tenets of cultural liberalism. Well, they're talking about the blue state, red state divide again, which, as we never seem to tire of pointing out, is exactly the same cultural divide that led to the Civil War between the Confederacy and abolitionist New England. Blue State America is the spiritual heir of abolitionist New England, while Red State America is the spiritual heir of the old Confederacy. These people came from different stocks. They had different values. They had different visions of what the city on a hill of America should and could look like. And those differences, folks, are enduring. They're still with us today, pointing out why our ancestors, James, here in the South were right. We are actually two nations. In this article, they point out things like the laws regarding unions. Almost all red states are what they call right-to-work states. And as a result, as industry starts coming back to America from overseas, they are relocating not in the blue state Rust Belt, where they traditionally had been before offshoring and outsourcing, but in the right-to-work red states of America, in fact, the old Confederacy. Even Memphis, with its large black population, seems to be attracting more in industry, like Mitsubishi and Electrolux, than the Rust Belt. And that's because we have a user-friendly government here, not a government that supports the unions at the expense of the entrepreneurs. Now, that's just one of the many differences that they point to. They point to taxation. The blue states have heavy taxation, red states lighter taxation. In fact, we live in the state of Tennessee where there is no state income tax. There are very few states like that, I think. Texas is one, and I think that Florida is another.
That's right.
I may be wrong about Texas, but at any rate, the tax burden is much less in red state America, and as a result, they're thriving. On the other hand, we see more and more of these urban centers, particularly in blue states, going bankrupt. And of course, the progressive liberal Democrats aren't going to let these cities go bankrupt. They're going to infuse them with federal aid, which, of course, is bleeding money from the red states. We're going to be supporting all the misbegotten programs of the blue state left, which have led to disastrous results. And this article just goes through every one of these different changes. I would recommend it to you. You can find it probably at the Washington Post would be the best place to find it. But it is an exhaustive list, cataloging, it's everything from abortion laws. Red State America is tightening down on abortion laws, tightening down on the availability of abortion, while abortion is a sacrament. In Blue State America, homosexual marriage laws, same thing. That's what they're doing. They're making homosexual marriage part and parcel of America, American life in Blue State America, while Red State America continues to vote down initiatives to legalize it. And, of course, being in the same nation with the blue states puts us at a disadvantage because they have this thing called the full faith and credit clause of the Constitution, which says that the red states have to give full faith and credit to the laws of other states, including laws validating gay marriage. So you get your gay marriage up in Massachusetts, and you move to Mississippi, and Mississippians have to recognize that at law, or else they're in violation of the Constitution. This is just another example of why our ancestors are right and why there should be at least two Americas, red state America and blue state America, or the Confederacy and the Union.
Well, and especially when you take into account, Keith, what passes for today's conservative resistance, the mainstream conservative resistance to what's supposed to be the liberal Democrats. We're going to talk about that in a little sharper focus right after this next commercial break, folks. Stay tuned.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
A backpack is more than just a bag, it's a statement. Whether you're a student or a professional, are traveling the world or commuting to work, Teton Sports offers a wide variety of backpacks, each of which is lightweight and durable. The book bag backpacks weigh only 1.5 pounds and come in solid pink, blue, red, or black. The session bags have eye-catching designs, adding a touch of style in pink and white or in black. Each is great for kids or adults who need a versatile, resilient, and eye-catching bag. The professional and the executive are sleek, sturdy backpacks with numerous uses. Whether you're hiking in the mountains or packing for an important business trip, these bags have plenty of room. Not only are the backpacks comfortable and lightweight, but they're large enough to fill all your needs. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, duffels, tents, cots, camp pads, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Phil and Don Everly were cranking out hit after hit after hit on the Billboard Top 10. Conservatism has changed as well. I want to tell you a quick story about James J. Kilpatrick, if you've never heard his name before. He was at one time one of the most widely read syndicated columnists in the country. He wasn't always a widely read and famous syndicated columnist. In fact, his career started out in the 1950s, same as the Everly Brothers, when he was an unknown editor and editorial writer for a newspaper in Richmond, Virginia. Then James J. Kilpatrick became the voice of conservatism by denouncing the Brown versus Board of Education decision and championing states' rights and, dare I say it, segregation. That's what made his popularity begin to score. Kilpatrick once described himself as 10 miles to the right of Ivan the Terrible. He was a champion of the anti-desegregation crusades that gave him national prominence. One of his most famous quotes was this. I'm going to read this directly from an essay he wrote for the Saturday Evening Post, and I want to read this quote in particular because of where it led him. This is what he said, again, quite famously. When the black today proclaims or demands his equality, he is talking of equality within the terms of Western civilization. And what, pray, has he contributed to it? Putting aside conjecture, wishful thinking, and jazz worship, what has he, in fact, contributed to it? The blunt answer, may it please the court, is very damned little. That was James J. Kilpatrick, Keith, and because of his views on race in particular, it impressed William F. Buckley so much that he asked him to write a column for National Review. And from there, he went on to write much more of the same. So National Review used to embrace this sort of resistance to the establishment. Today's conservatives, however, in an effort to prove that they're the good guys who love black people the most, love to scream that Bull Connor was a Democrat and that it was the Democrats who opposed the civil rights movement. But what they never mention is that, yes, that may be true, but it was conservatives, most importantly, who once opposed aspects of the civil rights movement. And they did it from the pages of the National Review, the leading conservative magazine in the country back then. Yes, Democrats were conservatives back then. Republicans were the liberals. Now both parties are just liberal. But you compare that to the National Review of today, which is an irrelevant publication that fired John Derbyshire last year for writing a very common sense elementary truth about some of these issues. But that was what conservatism was in the 1950s, Keith, when the Everly Brothers were kicking and screaming. And I got this email, and I wanted to bring this up while you were still on the show. This email came in today. It said the writer doesn't sign his or her name, but the email came through the system, and it reads, keep up the good work. Keep telling the truth without fear or favor. The Political Cesspool is by far my favorite radio program. I've had the pleasure to meet both Eddie Miller and Keith Alexander, and they are both great patriots. I wish we could have Keith come speak to the local Campaign for Liberty group. He is brilliant. Unfortunately, they say he's like David Duke, and we must avoid that kind of controversy, even if he does speak the truth. For what it's worth, he had been considered, but the C4L will not allow him to come. So, Keith, again, C4L, supposedly the hardcore conservative resistance, compare that to what was passing for conservatism in the 1950s, and compare the fact that you are basically persona non grata to them. You are one of the most articulate, most informed, genius defenders of true paleoconservative tendencies that there is, and but to them, though, you are just a Nazi, a Klansman.
Well, thank you for those kind words, James, but see, what has happened to the National Review is what has happened to mainstream conservatives generally. National Review of the 1950s was paleoconservative. They really challenged with a lot of very heavyweight intellectual argumentation the whole agenda of the Civil Rights Movement, all of the things they did. It was James Kilpatrick that came up with the historical chestnut interposition where states' rights, states were allowed to interpose their will upon the will of the federal government if the federal government passed laws that were contrary to basically the culture and zeitgeist of that state. And that was used unsuccessfully, I might add, because of the Jewish-dominated Supreme Court under the Earl Warren years. But it was a very sound political argument. what happened to the National Review and the Weekly Standard and all of these other mainstream, which we call lamestream, publications nowadays that are supposed to be conservative, has been the consolidation of Jewish power and influence. Jonah Goldberg is the head of the National Review. Bill Kristol is the head of the Weekly Standard. These are not Southern Baptist people. These are Jews, and Jews of all stripes are liberal, even the conservative ones. They like to dominate both sides of the dialectic, because if you can control the thesis and the antithesis, you can control the synthesis. And as a result, what comes across as mainstream conservatism nowadays is pablum. It's like what Jesus said, that they spit, they're lukewarm, and it's something that you want to spit out of your mouth. There's no salvation for the American people to be found with mainstream publications, mainstream conservative organs like the National Review and the Weekly Standard. You're going to have to get to the Political Cesspool, American Renaissance, Occidental Observer, and the true paleoconservative organizations and websites to get anything like true conservatism as James J. Kilpatrick would have understood it.
Well, and the truth of the matter is, Keith, that mainstream conservatism today, the Republican Party, some of these other groups, they basically exist only to ratify what the liberals are trying to do. They will spin their wheels and feign opposition or resistance to it for a time, and then after enough time has passed, they will just rubber stamp it, and then the next line will be drawn, and they will fiercely oppose that for a while, and then they'll ratify that. And it just, you know, they're just, you know, basically hanging on to the liberal or Marxist egalitarian coat strings and being strung along. But, you know, and that's sad. I mean, because
they provide token resistance to the leftist agenda, and they're really, just like Dabney said back in the 1880s when he described the modern conservatism of his day, they're like a sparring partner for a heavyweight contender. They're there to keep the contender in fighting trim, but the sparring partner is chosen because there's no danger of the sparring partner knocking the contender out. There's no danger of mainstream conservatism carrying the day and defeating any part of the left-wing agenda, and the left knows that. They say that Jews like to own both sides of each coin. Well, Jews are the active force in liberalism. I'm sorry, folks, that may offend some people, but when you're talking about liberalism, if you scratch the surface, you see that all of the leading lights, all of the vanguard, happen to be sons and daughters of Israel. Now, that's no coincidence, folks. That's what is driving liberalism, and that's what makes them so unbeatable.
Because well, and again, it gets
wealth,
to the point.
Intelligence and control.
Do we hate Jews? Absolutely not. We don't hate anyone, but we will use our freedom of speech, and we will use our pulpit here to say that, hey, you know, a certain group has a disproportionate amount of power, and in our opinion, they're using that power to the detriment of this country and its those who founded it.
Disproportionately left-wing. There's just no.
Yeah, and that's all. Look, and we could oppose that. You're not an anti-Semite for objectively criticizing a Jew. It just doesn't work that way. But that's how they would like to redefine.
80%. There's nothing that's studied in as much detail as demographic voting patterns. And Jews are the most liberal part of the population that passes as white in virtually every presidential election. 80% plus typically votes for the Democratic candidate, which is a pretty good indicator of your identification with the left in today's America. And of the 20% that don't vote Democrat, a large percentage of those people vote for candidates even further to the left than the Democratic Party, such as a Ralph Nader or whatnot. And it's time for people to understand that with Jews are the yeast that makes the dough rise in liberalism. Without their essential input, basically none of the left-wing agenda would ever have triumphed and been passed into law. For example, the idea that blacks have, that black people and black people alone were responsible for the triumph of the civil rights movement, is quite frankly laughable. They think that you know, black people locked arms and started swinging back and forth, singing spirituals, and the walls came tumbling down. But if there hadn't been Jewish executives at the TV networks in the time that decided to cover the civil rights protests and cover them in a very sympathetic way, their viewpoint would never have prevailed.
Keith, my friend, another hour has gone by far too quickly with you by my side. Thanks for the contributions tonight. We will talk to you next week when you'll be back in the studio. I know you have some family business to attend to this evening, so you'll be leaving us now. But don't worry, folks. We've got two great guests forthcoming. Reverend Ted Pike and Sam Bushman and Eddie the Bombardier Miller is here to co-pilot the rest of the program with me as well, and it's only going to get better. We'll be back right after this.
Right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.